Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Barack Obama famously said, "Never underestimate Joe Biden's ability to F things up." Well, Biden has now done the impossible. He's completely ticked off the liberal media. It's hard to believe this is actually happening, and certainly people on the right would love to have so much friendly media. But Joe Biden this week has seen his liberal friends in the press turn on him and file a formal objection to the White House. The main reason these people are miffed is they simply get no answers. The Biden administration doesn't answer anything at any level. This was also on full display as Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin was questioning the Homeland Security Secretary about our southern border. We'll play that clip for you. It's stunning. Meanwhile, Biden just deflects again with something called the Global Vaccination Summit. He says he's going to purchase 1 billion Pfizer doses and send them all over the world. At some point, doesn't he run out of COVID stories to make people look the other way? Patrick Mahomes' brother, Jackson, is in the news across America for dumping water on a couple Ravens fans after the game on Sunday night. In and of itself, it's really not that big of a deal, but more and more people around Mahomes are getting too much negative attention. We discuss what Patrick can do about this. And we've got some KU and MU football for you. Lance Leipold is clearly taking control of his program in Lawrence. I like that. And Aliyah Drinkwitz has some problems that Andy Reid has. It's called run defense. He needs to fix it fast, or Boston College could rush for 300 yards on the Tigers this week. It's brought to you by 360 Document Solutions. Online at 360documentsolutions.com. At your office, we can help you be more efficient. 360 Documents can get you copiers, printers, IT solutions, mailing systems, phone systems. They can get you out of your current leases and current equipment at something that costs less and is more productive for you. Give them a chance to just do a free consultation. It costs you nothing. Contact Mark Lindquist at 360 Documents, 913-745-5344, or online at 360documentsolutions.com. Fry Orthodontics, Dr. Jeremy Fry and his team of outstanding orthodontists work at 12 area locations for your convenience. Adults, think about Invisalign. Straighten that smile. Straighten those teeth. You've wanted to do it forever? Invisalign is now the same price as braces. It's fewer appointments, less time missed from work, less painful, better hygiene. Invisalign with Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Pro Partners Healthcare, online at propartnershealthcare.com. In Leawood and the Northland. This is great primary care for you and your family. It's concierge healthcare. It's in addition to your current insurance or in place of your insurance. One low fee, everyone in your family is covered at Pro Partners Healthcare, Leawood and the Northland. Dr. Troy Burns and his team of physicians will take great care of your family. You're going to love this access to your doctors, not waiting on hold, not going into a phone system. Nope, just direct access when you need it. ProPartnersHealthcare.com. And Amazing Garage Floors, online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. John Hutchins, a great American patriot, he served with honor. It's time to protect your driveway with Seal XP. We got about 6 or 8 weeks left of good weather to get your driveway sealed. The garage work they can do year-round, obviously. Amazing Garage Floors will make an amazing garage floor for you. You want to see the work they do? Check them out online, AmazingGarageFloors.net, or call Hutch at 913-901-7139. Joe Biden has done the impossible. Barack Obama is right. Never underestimate his ability to F things up. He has completely ticked off the liberal media. How is this even possible? On KKHI. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Joslyn's Jewelry presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
For about 8 months now, it's been pretty clear that Joe Biden and his administration will do whatever they want, and their friends in the media will help them out. They will ignore things that are really bad. They will downplay things. They will watch the border just open up. They will watch inflation skyrocket. We will watch pipelines close down and the price of gasoline go up, the price of beef go up, the price of everything going up. It doesn't matter what the Biden administration does. When the end result is something bad, the media largely ignore it. You can watch Fox News. You can find some websites out there. You can listen to this podcast. And you can get the truth, the reality, how bad the situation is on many fronts in the United States. But by and large, the news will come and go. An overwhelming percentage, 80% of the media coverage in America of the Biden administration are liberal. They're agenda-driven. They love what he's doing. They all want all types of people from all over the world to come in here that will eventually become Democrat voters. So they have complete one-party control of this country to turn it into a socialist country. It's what they want. They are, for the first time in our lives, very outspoken that they're socialists. Bernie Sanders calls himself pretty much a communist. AOC calls herself a Democrat socialist, whatever that is. She's a socialist. They're outspoken that that's what they are. It is complete government control. There's a growing number of people in America that want the government to run their lives. One of the things that we've learned about COVID that is completely new to me, the concept is completely foreign to me, the way I've lived my life, is that there literally are people, and it's about apparently 30 to 40% of people in this country and perhaps around the world, who lack so much confidence in making their own decisions, running their own lives, they want somebody to tell them what to do. Maybe this is mommy syndrome. I don't know. They want somebody that they think is smarter than them to tell them what's good for them, to tell them what to do, how to live, whether to take a shot, what to do, stay 6 feet away, wear a mask, do this, do that. Please just tell me how to live my life because I don't know. I'm not confident in making my own decisions for myself. Please help me. And they prey on these people. And they've been able to do it with the help of the media. And these people are good, consistent Democrat voters. They want government to run their lives for them. They love the $1,400 checks that show up. They love the welfare, the food stamps, the unemployment, anything they get from government. Thank you, government. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's what they want. They thrive on it. Please help me. I want free health care. It's a right. It should be in the Constitution that I have health care. It's all absurd, of course. But we now see these people and we know these people. We've experienced COVID for a year and a half. We know who they are. They're in our midst. We see them. You can spot them. I would never say anything to anyone, but I look at them and I go, yep, that's a person that wants to be told what to do. They're rule followers. They want a central authority to tell them how to live and what's going on. This has all worked smashingly well for the Biden administration for 8 months because when things go bad, it gets ignored. People don't see it and they don't care. The deflection point for the Biden is the default position has always been just have a COVID news conference. Something bad happens, crisis at the border, COVID news conference. Anything happens, let's talk COVID. Let's make sure that these 30 to 40% of the people are comforted. We'll tell them how to live and that they're going to be okay if they just follow these rules. We'll get them a third jab if they want it. If it makes them happy, let's get them a third shot. Free. Of course it's free. As long as the media went along with it, everything was good. And it seems to be turning on the Biden administration. How they could have picked a fight with the media and members of the liberal media in this country are turning on the Biden administration is beyond belief to me. Obama was like this. It's stunning that politicians on the left can actually think the media are out to get them, that they have an unfriendly press corps. But when you think the press is just complicit in everything, when you think you can ignore them or disrespect them, you get into huge trouble. And that's what's going on this week. Chuck Todd started it out on NBC saying Biden's got a real credibility crisis around the world, that all of these international events have been bad. People around the world see it, and Joe Biden, they're embarrassed. They're like, he's the leader of our party. He's the leader of our way of thinking. We want him to run this country, but the rest of the people around the world are laughing at Joe Biden. So it isn't the American citizens. It certainly isn't the Trump voters that bother the media on the left. They're not going to have people like us sway what they think. They're not going to say, well, maybe these 80 million Americans that voted for Trump or whatever it was, maybe they're not so dumb. Maybe they knew Biden wasn't going to be a good president. No, they'd never say that. What they say is things like, on the world stage, he's embarrassing America. We have a crisis. We have an international crisis. Gayle King of CBS News has jumped on board. She's her two best friends in the world, Gayle King, if you don't know who she is, she hosts the CBS Morning Show. Her two best friends are Oprah Winfrey and Barack Obama. That's all you got to know. And she's turned on Joe Biden, which now means And we saw Ed O'Keefe at CBS News do this after a news conference at the White House, a photo op at the White House. On Tuesday, Ed O'Keefe turned. Several reporters in the White House press pool have turned. They went to Twitter and said, this is embarrassing. This is wrong. What happened here is bad. They are attacking this president over what? Not necessarily over the crisis at the border, although the questioning is about the crisis at the border. This is what's getting Biden. These reporters want this story now. Liberal reporters want this story. What's going on? Is it safe? They see him talking about COVID, and they're asking, are these people coming in vaccinated? Are you vaccinating them? Are they wearing masks? Is this safe? Because COVID is ruled. And his border problem clearly contradicts his COVID policy. So all these questions are happening, and all these people are turning on him. And why are they turning? Because the man won't answer questions. And when he does, he gets snippy with the press, rude, snaps at him. And this is not going to play. How somebody on the left can allow this to happen when you have a friendly press, how can you piss them off? How can you possibly think, I'm going silent, I'm not answering questions, or I'm going to snap at a reporter and do this? How can you, if there's one thing to know about the press corps, the White House press corps, the media, these are very arrogant, self-important people. They believe they're bigger than the president. Many of them believe that. They believe their job is more important. They believe they have more authority. They think that dispersing all the information that they do as the gatekeeper is a much bigger function in America than a politician. They may be right. We can argue about that. Big tech certainly believes the same thing. Twitter believes it. Facebook believes it. They believe they're more important than the politicians. Politicians come and go. Twitter and Facebook don't. Politicians come and go. The New York Times, CBS News, CNN, NBC, whatever, they don't come and go. They're consistent. Their message is a drumbeat. The Biden administration is just ticking all of them off. The border has become the number one story. Joe Biden goes to the United Nations on Tuesday, gives a 30-minute speech, and does not mention any trouble at the United States border. Remember, this is about international policy. We have Western Africans, we have Haitians, we have Guatemalans, we have Mexicans all pouring into the country. There's crime coming in like crazy. There's COVID coming in like crazy, but it doesn't matter. Someday we're going to pass an amnesty bill and all of these people will be Democrat voters. We will turn Texas blue if it kills us. Do you think Joe Biden would be allowing this in Delaware? No, he would not be allowing it in Delaware. They're not going to drop them on the beaches in Delaware. They're not going to allow them to come to Delaware. Delaware is already solidly blue. We don't need to do that. Texas is ground zero. Let it happen in Texas, is what Joe Biden is saying. So he's created this on purpose. He doesn't answer. He doesn't say one thing in his speech as he's walking out, past the press pool in the United Nations. A reporter shouts at him, "What are you going to do about the border? What about the border?" And he mumbles something. And you can't hear it. And the reporter says, "Did you say you're going to get it under control or it is under control?" And he said, "We are going to get it under control." So Joe Biden has admitted it's not under control. He then has a sit down in the Oval Office with Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. You know Boris Johnson. There's British reporters there. The American press pool is there. They have probably, we're going to learn, probably agreed this is a photo op. We're not taking questions. But some English journalists start firing questions at Boris Johnson, and he answers three of them. He's more than happy to answer them. U.S. reporters fire questions at Joe Biden, and he won't do it. It becomes a chaotic scene where his handlers start shouting down the reporters. I mean, everybody in the room is screaming. Everybody's screaming. Biden looks confused. He doesn't know what to do. They're shouting down the reporters. He's not going to answer any questions at this event, and he doesn't. And it's over. And when it ends, the White House press corps files a formal objection. I don't know what the hell that is, but it's meaningful because 90-some percent of the press pool is liberal. And they're mad as hell at Biden and the administration because they don't take questions. They're tired of his little canned speeches where he comes out and stumbles around with a teleprompter. And then that's it. He walks away and he turns his back and he slowly walks away while they fire questions at him and he doesn't answer them. They're tired of it. They have a job to do. These people have a job to do. He picks and chooses. He'll sit down with George Stephanopoulos, a very far left-wing guy, and do a sit-down interview. Then ABC conveniently does what? they release the transcript of the whole interview, and all the good stuff is left out of what they broadcast. We can see that they selectively edit what they use, the stuff that's really interesting to the American public, the tough questions, the answers where he's confused and doesn't know what he's saying, and we can see that he's incompetent. ABC doesn't air those, but they publish the full transcript on their website. He's got nothing but friends in the media. As long as they pick and choose and do one-on-one interviews, they're going to be protected. But now the White House press corps is steaming mad at this guy. I mean, this is impossible to do. This is like having family members turn on you. You just got somebody mad at you. I mean, it seems unthinkable and impossible that Chuck Todd, Gayle King, could be leading the chorus of those saying, he's got huge international problems. This is embarrassing for America. He may not be up to this job. Then Ed O'Keefe at CBS News is just railing on him for not taking questions. The White House press pool files a formal objection. This is remarkable to me. This is absolutely remarkable. And I've said since day one when he won, the only way he's out is when the media say he's out. When the media turn on Joe Biden, it's over. He won't get anything passed. His agenda will be DOA. The $3.5 trillion will be flushed down the drain. If they keep going, and I don't know that they will, they may have their own little caucus where they all get together in the media and say, wait, we better back off. If we want to get this stuff done, we better back off this guy. But there is one thing bigger than their agenda in the media. You got to trust me on this one. I know these people. I've been around it. There is one thing bigger than the liberal agenda for members of the media. And that is their egos. That is their self-importance. They're narcissists. They believe they're in control. They believe that the press controls this country. And and there's no reason not to believe that. They believe they're responsible for Trump losing. They don't think it's hundreds of thousands of ballots that were blank that people picked up and either mailed in or dropped in giant canvas bags in the middle of the night. They don't believe it's stuff like that. They believe it's their drumbeat against Trump for 4 years that got Biden elected. They believe that. Maybe they're right. I don't know. Facebook believes it. Twitter believes it. All of the corporate media believe it. They believe that their reporting of mostly fake news, but just constant criticism of Trump and abuse of Donald Trump got him out. They believe they're that powerful. They know they can do that to Biden. They know they can do that to Biden in probably 10 days. And if they ratcheted up like they did against Trump, if they went after his son, the China deals, all of the illegal dealings and money that he's made, the disgusting things in his family, his dementia, if they just played the clips over and over of him stumbling around and not knowing what he's doing, if they just attacked him and said, we need you to take a physical, this is unbelievable, you know, his cabinet needs to think about amendment, the 25th Amendment, if they started all that stuff on Joe Biden right now, it would take about 2 weeks and he would resign. This man would resign under pressure. He would. Trump would never do that. He'll fight you the whole way. This guy doesn't have any fight in him. I'm not predicting that's going to happen, but we're seeing the beginning of an uprising of the liberal media turning on Joe Biden, which to me is just staggering. I can't believe it's happening. And people have asked me, how long is he going to stay there? I said, I don't know. Either Barack Obama is going to decide, you know, the puppet master is going to decide, hey, here's how this is going down after the midterms. I think they want him to stay through the midterms, and if they get slaughtered in the midterms, they blame Biden. Then maybe he steps away for health reasons or something, and they move on, and they have a year and a half to regroup and figure out who their candidate is that can primary Kamala at that point, because there would be nothing getting passed anyway. I think that's their play. I think they're going to use him as a scapegoat. I think they're going to throw him under the bus. But it's so bad now, and things are getting worse, and they know what's going to happen a year from November. I mean, this is very easy to predict. Things can change in a year. He can go start a war and become popular. We've seen presidents do that. Maybe he goes back into Afghanistan next June and we have this massive assault and push the Taliban out and you know, reinstate the government that we like. And people are like, yeah, USA, USA. And that helps him. You know, I think if I were him, I'd close the border. This is a 75% issue in America. I'd get tough on the border if I were him. His popularity would go way up if he just did that. He'd have plenty of Democrat voters like that he's tough on the border. There's plenty of his own voters that would be happy with that. This seems like a simple solution, but the grand plan is to let these people in. and the Haitians are bringing in disease and Afghanistan's bringing in disease. They want to put 100,000 Afghans in here. I mean, we're seeing all this stuff happen. But the fact that three British reporters got questions fired off and Biden didn't take any questions from American reporters has the White House press corps livid. I mean, livid. They've got chaos. We're sitting here living our lives in the United States. I'm telling you, it is the most chaotic place in America right now. It's more chaotic than the border. Jen Psaki doesn't know how to handle it. His advisors don't know what to do. They're trying to shout reporters down to keep him from answering questions when he does photo ops. This is untenable. This situation is untenable. There will be a tipping point. It's going to break. Something's going to happen. Somebody's going to get the balls to bust out a really big story on Biden. They're going to dig up some dirt, and somebody's going to do it. Where it goes from there, I don't know. It may just be one story. Maybe the rest don't get in line. Maybe they don't really go after him. But boy, you want to tick reporters off? It isn't policy. It's not. It's not even personality. It's not, you know, looking at somebody right or we think they don't like us. It's not that. You want to tick them off? Ignore them. Make them think you don't matter. I don't care about your questions. I'm better than you. I'm the president. I'm bigger and better than you. I'm the president of the United States. Boris Johnson may have to take questions over here, but I don't. My people will shout you down. You are minions with cameras and microphones. Now, another thing that probably happened was they had agreed to not take questions, and Boris Johnson may have just showed Biden up on purpose. The rest of the world isn't real happy with Joe Biden and the United States. They don't like the way they pulled out of Afghanistan. The UK didn't like the way this thing went down. It wasn't easy for them either. Maybe Boris Johnson's showing him up. Maybe that's his way of saying, I'm competent and he's not. I don't know. I can't speak to that. Maybe it was just a random moment where they're shouting questions and Boris Johnson said, this is going to look bad if I don't answer these questions. I agreed to come in and do a photo op and not talk, but I'm Boris Johnson. I'm cool with this. I can handle it. I mean, can you imagine Donald Trump not taking questions? They start shouting questions at him. He would at least give a statement. He'd say, pipe down, pipe down, pipe down. Let me just say this, and that's all I'm going to say. He would at least do that, but not Biden. He just sits there quietly. I am too good for this. And his handlers shout down the reporters. I'm telling you, they got chaos. They got chaos at the White House, and I can't wait to see how this plays out. You want to tick reporters off, man. They are very, very self-aware and self-important. You want to tick them off. They did it on Tuesday at the White House. I don't know what a formal objection is. It means they're mad as hell. It's a group thing. The entire White House press corps signed off on this. Their formal objection, that they were embarrassed by the administration because their fellow journalists from Great Britain were able to ask questions and the Americans weren't, I'd be mad too. I'd be really mad. We'll see where it goes. It's hot everywhere in D.C. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin at a Capitol Hill meeting had the Homeland Secretary on the stand, Alejandro Mayorkas. And we know the border's a disaster. Biden says he's going to get under control, but we don't see them doing anything. Okay, we need to send the National Guard. We need to send in the military. We really need to send the military to the border and say, this is it, it's over. We're turning you back, and we have to fire shots into the sky as people are coming across to get them to turn around. We'll fire shots into the sky. All right, we brought them all home from Afghanistan. Let's go send them to the border. Let's give them a real job. You are not coming into this country. Let's go do that. I don't have any hope that Biden's going to do that. I don't know what's going to play out. Senator Ron Johnson is a rock star from Wisconsin. He's got Mayorkas on the stand, and he basically says, you're giving us numbers of how many people are coming in. How many of those people are you sending back? Listen to this exchange.
So let me ask you, Mr. Secretary, of the 1.3 million people that we've apprehended, how many people have been returned? How many people are being detained, and how many people have been dispersed? And I want some numbers here.
Senator, I would be pleased to provide you with that data.
I want them now. Why don't you have that information now?
Senator, I do not have that data.
Why not?
For me.
Why don't you have that basic information?
Senator, I want to be accurate in the information.
I'm looking for ballpark figures. Is it about half? Have we dispersed about half of that? Are we up to about 600,000 people we dispersed?
Senator, these are the tools that we employ. We use the Title 42 authority, that is the public health authority empowered by the Centers for Disease Control to expel individuals in light of the.
So I'm hearing that you're not using that to the full extent, and that we've got 40-50% of people, even apprehended under Title 42, that are not being returned. Is that accurate?
That is actually inaccurate.
Okay, so what is the? Okay, so you, if you're saying that's
inaccurate, Senator, would you care to let the witness finish an answer?
I actually want
answers to my questions. What is the real figure then?
Well, as you can gather, Alejandro Mayorkas did not answer the question ever at any point and say, here's the percentage we're sending back. There are reports out today that thousands of Haitians came across, and we've sent them to different cities where the Biden administration is saying they're going to Tucson, they're going to El Paso, we're getting them to these places where we're going to put them on planes and fly them back to Haiti. Well, there's a report that, 10,000 Haitians came in over the last couple days, and 500 of them have been flown back to Haiti. Those in Haiti are speaking out that they're mad at the United States. This is good. This is helpful. These people went home and they're getting some coverage in Haiti that you can't trust the American government. This is not what you think it is. They're as bad as our government. The people that got sent home are saying, we left Haiti because our government we know here is awful. Our socialist government is awful. We want to go to their socialist government in America because they're going to take care of us better than Haiti because that's a rich country. And now those people, some of them are getting sent back and they're saying, well, you can't trust the Americans either. This is good. If it gets out around the world that you can't trust the Americans, they will send you home. People are not going to go to the trouble and expense of coming. Now, my personal belief is it's well worth the trouble and expense because the likelihood of getting sent home isn't very good. But apparently we sent 500 Haitians home. That's what, 3 flights of people that we sent back? That isn't very much. But theoretically, we're sending these thousands of people to these cities, detaining them, and going to get them on planes from Tucson and El Paso and places like that and fly them home to wherever they're from. I'll believe it when I see it. Ron Johnson wants to know the number. The Homeland Security Secretary won't say. And this is so fitting for the Biden administration. They simply won't answer questions. When they have bad things going on, they won't talk about it. And somehow they just get away with this. This is a senator in a hearing on Capitol Hill asking this Homeland Security. What else is there? I mean, when it comes right down to it, what else is there other than Homeland Security? Why do we have a military? We fight wars. We've got conflicts. We've got people all over the world to keep trouble from coming here. That's why you go to Afghanistan, is to keep the Taliban from coming here and flying airplanes into buildings. That's why we're over there doing it. But our own border is under siege. That's what your military is. All Ron Johnson wants to know, he's not sitting here saying, hey, how can we militarize this? How are you going to stop this? He's not even asking that. He's just saying, we detain these people. How many are you sending home? What percentage are going back? These people will not answer. Ron Johnson made a great point. If 50% isn't the right number, tell me what the number is. You know it's not 50%. They're not sending 50% of these people home. They're sending a few home. And they'll show you, they'll show the media, hey, look at here, we got a bus, they're going back, they're doing this. We're going to sort out the bad guys. We're going to let the good people stay. They deserve a chance to come to America. They deserve this. Well, okay, people do deserve this. If they do it legally, we have a system for this. I don't even care what the number is. We can allow 1 million immigrants a year to come in and make them citizens. I have no problem with that. But let's vet them. Let's know who they are. Let's bring in some educated people that can contribute to society. Let's bring in some people that can pay taxes, real taxes. You know, I'm not saying we can't bring workers in, people that are not doing well where they are. I think America should extend her hand and say, we want these people. Come here and find a better way and a better life. Even if you're not educated, I want those people too. But let's know who they are. Let's vet them and make sure that it's not criminals. But for God's sake, let's close the border. It's unbelievable. And so what's Biden doing? He's going to deflect this whole thing. His new thing that he's going to have on Wednesday is a global vaccination summit with all these people at the UN. Joe Biden is let's just get off the border. He's buying 1 billion Pfizer doses. What's his connection to Pfizer? That's what I want. The first thing you have to ask, we've got these other ones. We got J&J, we got Moderna, we got these other vaccines. What in the world is the connection to Pfizer that he's going to buy a billion of these? And he's got a global vax summit that he's going to do, and he wants to save the world. He wants the billion doses all over the world for people who in countries that can't afford the shots, the vaccines. This is just throwing money at something that will epically fail. Some people will get the jabs, some people won't. What Joe Biden doesn't understand is most of these third world countries, these really poor countries, these people don't want the shot. They're afraid of the shot. They don't understand medicine. B, they live in a country where the people who run the country, they don't trust them. And if they come to you and say, here's this shot, you're going to have to make them do this. Well, maybe Joe Biden's going to find places around the world where great socialist regimes can force its citizens to take the shots. What on earth is he so hell-bent about this for? COVID is fading. I swear this is the truth, the absolute truth. I got up this morning, I went through my regular routine. When I turn the TV on, I get on my computer and I start researching for the podcast. The first story I see on the news early this morning, the first story is the flu shot is available. It should be taken from mid-September to the end of October. The flu shot is available, and it's okay to get both at the same time. You can get the flu shot and the COVID vaccine at the same time. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, people are going to run out now and get the flu shot. This 30% or whatever people that will take any needle prick, anything you say I should take that I can go get for free, I'm going to go get free. Attached on this report is, oh, by the way, it was an unbelievably record low flu season last year. Well, no stuff, it was a low flu season. Everything that was the flu last year was categorized as COVID. COVID and the flu are both viruses. They're very, very similar. No kidding, it was a low flu season. Anybody that went to the doctor with the flu last year was diagnosed with COVID. It was all part of the scam. There's nobody going to tell somebody they had the flu. You've got COVID, for crying out loud. It's all COVID. COVID, COVID, COVID. Biden wants to do a billion Pfizer shots around the world. It's flu season, and they want us all now to take that shot. I couldn't care less if you go get a flu shot. Go get one. I've never taken one, and I'm not against the flu shot. I see people, I had employees miss work for 3 days because they got a flu shot. It gave them the flu. They got sick. Like, why would I take that? Well, it builds your immunity to this year's strain. I said, I'm going to guess at some point in my life I've had the flu. I don't remember having it. If I did, it was probably minor flu. I can't imagine that I didn't have it at some point, but I've never taken a flu shot because I've never been sick with the flu. I don't understand. I so many things I don't get. And maybe, look, if you've had the flu and it really sucked for you, I totally get it. Go get the flu shot. It's great that we have flu shots. And there's a different strain every year. This is what COVID is going to be. We're going to always have COVID. You can't eradicate it. We just have to live with it. We had about 50,000 Americans per year dying from the flu. Nobody ever reports that, but that's why we have flu shots. Go do this. We don't want people to die. Great. If you're one of the people that's in danger of dying from complications of the flu, get the shot. I would encourage my mom to get it. She's had lung cancer. She had the lobe taken out. She doesn't breathe as well as she used to. I think the flu would really suck for her. I'd encourage her to get a flu shot, but it's up to her. It's not my choice. But if it's not for me, I couldn't believe it, man. I absolutely couldn't believe it. First thing I saw today was, get the flu shot! Get the flu shot. Next time I get in legal trouble, Nebraska Furniture Mart's lawyers are going to be my legal team. This is a nifty little story. In Wyandotte County, Nebraska Furniture Mart, the last 3 years, has been paying property taxes on their building being worth $49 million. They've appealed this through courts, a tax appeal, and said, no, you're assessing this at $49 million based on the fact that we're a successful business. The law is, if this building's empty and we were going to sell it, what would it be worth? What would the actual property and the building be worth? It's not what the business is worth. It's not our revenues. It's not our profits. And they argued that their building and the property in a fair market, empty, dark, they call it, is worth $37 million, not $49 million. The courts have agreed with them. So they paid property tax the last 3 years on $12 million worth more of property. So it's basically $36 million of property taxes, whatever the property tax is, on $36 million worth of property. Wyandotte County has to refund to them now. I'm with Nebraska Furniture Mart on this. I say they're right. I don't think you pay more taxes because your business is successful. Walmart's been doing this all over the country. Nebraska Furniture Mart saw this a few years ago and saw what Walmart has done. Walmart has won case after case after case in court after court after court that you cannot tax us on being a successful business in this property. The only thing at question here is, what is this land worth and what is this building worth? And that's two different things other than, wow, you're successful. We're going to say it's worth this much to tax you even more. I'm with Nebraska Furniture Mart and I'm with Walmart on this. You may not like that, but I'm with them on this. And I don't know where Wyandotte County is going to come up with this money to give it all back to them, because it's going to be millions that they pay back to Nebraska Furniture Mart. But I'm with Nebraska Furniture Mart on this one. And I'm happy they do that. And I have no issue with somebody appealing and going after the government if the government's trying to gouge you in taxes. Because God only knows that they tax and spend like crazy. And they've got plenty of money at almost every level of government. It's the same argument I make in college athletics. You know, I've got a lot of friends. I used to donate to Kansas State. I used to donate to Pittsburgh State. I've donated to different schools, athletic departments. And I enjoyed doing it. And then one day I woke up and I realized that my money makes no difference. None. So my alma mater just built, what, a 40-some million dollar new deal on in the south end zone of the stadium. It's a club deal where you can buy a membership and go in there and watch the games and hang out and do all these cool things. It's private money. Now they got another $49 million. They're going to build this great volleyball court or stadium and a new indoor facility for the football team. And this money's coming from the state of Kansas, or much of it's coming from the state of Kansas, just taxpayer dollars. I'm like, wait, I sent two kids to school there. I went to school there. I've done my part. Me giving a couple $1,000s a year to Kansas State Athletics does bupkis when you're paying the football coach $3.5 million and you're building all this stuff, $100 million at a time. What's my $2,000 do? What, it makes me feel good? No, I that $2,000's better off with me. I'm the same way with these taxes. And if Nebraska Furniture Mart's got a refund coming, they've got it coming. Wyandotte County will find it elsewhere. It's thriving out there. It's booming. They got all kinds of good things going on in Wyandotte County. Pay them back. You overcharged them, pay them back. One place you will not get overcharged is Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Online at robertsrobinson.com. It's a great time to look at GMC Sierra. Ooh, the Denali's a beast, man. That is a great truck. If you're thinking about upgrading your truck, Chevy and GMC have models perfect for you. And Roberts Robinson can get you in the exact truck that you want. I'd have it built. I just call them up and say, I want to build it. I want sweet candy apple red or midnight black. I want some dark wheels. Trim that thing out. Give me the leather, the big old stereo, the whole deal. They'll do it for you. They'll order it up, have it built. It'll be there in a few weeks, and you'll get it exactly like you like it at the best price anywhere. RobertsRobinson.com is the website. BStock.net, your electronics superstore outlet in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. I saw my buddy Chris yesterday from BStock. We had quite a chat. He's hooking me up with my televisions in my new house. And he came out and he measured the spots. And he goes, you're going to need a thinner one here. And these guys just totally know what they're doing. This week, they got some great values. Vizio 70-inch, HDMI 2.1. They support the newest gaming systems, $629. They have great deals on 70 and 75-inch Samsung TVs for football season, $499 and $599. There's still some 16-inch MacBook Pros left. They're going quick. It's all online at bstock.net or visit that outlet store. It's basically a warehouse store, 14680 South Flaming Road. Elite Automation, my friend Brad and his team over at Elite are absolutely the best at saving you money on the energy costs you have at your building. Whether you have machinery in there or you just have a big warehouse or a church or a school, they'll install a new automation system that will run your HVAC and your power more efficiently than ever before. It's going to save you thousands and thousands of dollars. It costs you nothing to have them come consult on this. Please give them a call. Say, listen, come on out and check me out. See what I've got. Can I do this better? 913-766-2188 or online at eliteautomate.com. And back9development.com, a custom builder. Custom homes, commercial properties, room additions, and the Solheim condominiums at Grandmere with a pool, workout facility, covered parking. Back9development.com is the place to see it all online. If you would like to get a personal tour scheduled, TJ is the owner of Back 9 Development. He'll give you a personal tour. 785-236-0161. Back9development.com. All right, Patrick Mahomes' brother is making national news for what he did after the game on Sunday night in Baltimore. He was hanging outside his suite at the stadium. The stadium was mostly empty at this point, but a couple of Ravens fans spotted him and thought, well, you know what? We've seen this guy on social media. That's Patrick Mahomes' brother. And there were some other people hanging out outside the suite. They're at this balcony, basically, looking out over the lower concourse. And this dude with his phone rolling goes up and starts heckling Jackson Mahomes. And he's hollering harmless things like, let's go, let's go. We feel sorry for you. Woo, Ravens rock. No profanity. They didn't throw anything. They didn't do anything wrong. But they were basically going to have fun with Patrick Mahomes' brother and let him feel it that the Ravens beat the Chiefs. Pretty typical NFL fan stuff. Pretty harmless stuff. They can't touch him. They can't get to him. He's 15 feet up above him. And Mahomes' brother, Jackson Mahomes, takes a bottle of water and starts pouring water all over these guys. Not the right thing to do, but there seems to be a little bit of a media and generation gap here on this event. There's a bigger picture item that we'll get to in a moment. This isn't the end of the world. It's water. Jackson Mahomes didn't call him names. He didn't flip him off. He didn't throw something at him. He dropped water on him. The guys that were heckling him actually thought that was pretty cool. They had elicited the response they wanted. They got under Patrick Mahomes' brother's skin. They got under his skin. And they loved it. And they laughed. And it was fun. It was just harmless water. Jackson Mahomes walks away. The incident's over. The incident took less than 30 seconds. Some people's heads are exploding over this, that you can't do that, that it went too far. And what will Baltimore authorities do to Jackson Mahomes? Do they need to send the video to the police and all this other stuff? I'm like, this is ridiculous. This discussion is ridiculous. It's absurd. All right? It's exactly what those two men wanted Jackson Mahomes to do. They wanted to elicit the response. I did this as a kid. I heckled baseball players all the time. The opposing teams at Kauffman Stadium. Couldn't wait for them to look up and give me the finger or do whatever. You just ride them in the bullpen all day long until they finally responded in some way. They would the number one thing they do is they'd come over and tease you with a baseball. They'd toss it up against the wall just out of your reach where you couldn't catch it. They'd act like they were going to throw it to you, then they'd tease you and not give it to you. It was great fun. It's part of the game. This was part of that. But there literally are people that think this is really, really, really a bad look for Kansas City, for Patrick Mahomes, for everything. The big picture item here is Patrick Mahomes needs to get his family under control. His wife isn't, or fiance isn't very likable. We know this. She's over the top on social media. It's going to get old real fast. For a lot of people, it has gotten old. We don't like watching anymore. I felt bad for Patrick Mahomes on Thursday night. There's a viral video of him. He comes out on stage with Kane Brown at T-Mobile Center, which is really cool. Kane Brown's got a really, really popular song. Like the number one song in the country right now is called Famous Friends. It's about his hometown. You know, I live in Nashville now, but I got some famous friends back home. His famous friends back home are the police chief, his teacher, who's been fifth grade teacher, who's been teacher of the year 3 years in a row. You know, the bartender at his local bar from this small town in Tennessee. These are my famous friends. When I go back home, they're the ones that are famous, not me. I'm just a singer out in Nashville. These people are famous in my little town. So it's a cute song. And he introduces, I got famous friends. And he brings Patrick Mahomes out on stage. And the place goes crazy at T-Mobile Center. It goes absolutely bonkers. Then he starts singing the song. And he walks down the, kind of the runway thing that goes out into the crowd and everything. Kane Brown's singing the song. And Mahomes is just kind of left there with nothing to do. It's really awkward. There's some awkward things happening on social media with Patrick Mahomes and his family that are cringeworthy. And we love Patrick Mahomes here. We love him. Somebody's got to get control of some of this stuff. At some point, Patrick Mahomes will say, yeah, I'll come out and do your concert thing with you, but I either got to have some friends up here that I'm going to dance with or some T-shirts to throw to the crowd or give me a tambourine that doesn't really work and I'll just, you know, bang it against my thigh and make it look like I'm you know, part of what's going on up here. He was literally just kind of standing there alone and it became awkward. Well, there's just more and more of these things, and Patrick Mahomes can get away with awkward with most people, most Chiefs fans. What we're seeing is a reaction around the country. Well, what about this? What about Patrick Mahomes' brother? What about this thing? Barstool Sports picked it up. All these outlets are showing this video. Look, young people think it's cool and funny. Older people probably think it's a bad thing that he did. I just know that it's nonstop. And the Chiefs are really good. I predicted this in 2018. I said, give this thing a couple Super Bowl wins, and the Chiefs are going to be the most hated team in America. They'll get TV ratings, but people are not going to like Patrick Mahomes. They're not going to like the Chiefs. They're not going to be the fun, lovable team. They're going to be the team that everyone else in America roots for to lose, just like we all did for the Patriots for 15 years. The Chiefs become that team, and that's a great thing. That's what you want to be. You want to be that team. But you don't want to be the team that has the leader that is so overexposed on television commercials and social media and all these things that the rest of the country is like, ugh, I'm just tired of Mahomes and his fiance and the baby pictures and his brother throwing water and all this stuff going on. I'm sick of it all. They need to rein it in, man, because they go. He's got the money. He's got the contract with the jet company. He flies his family everywhere they go. They got to learn to take it from the hecklers. They just got to learn to take it. I don't have any problem, really, with what Jackson Mahomes did, this particular incident. But cumulatively, with everything that's going on with the people around him, they need to get a little under control. One place that sometimes is not completely under control is the black hole at Raiders games. The black hole was in the southern end of the stadium in Oakland. It's in the southern end of the new stadium in Las Vegas. Rob Rivera is the man who co-founded the black hole, a super fan, a Raiders super fan. In 1994, after he saw the dog pound in Cleveland, he said, boy, we got to have that here. And he came up with the idea of calling it the black hole. He has died. He has died of complications from COVID. That means he didn't die of COVID. That means he's not a thin man, okay? He obviously had underlying conditions. And it's a sad thing. John Gruden has spoken about it. JT the Brick, who I know is a national radio host, but is a Raider guy, ownership. They're sad that they've lost their guy that co-founded the black hole. I just thought maybe, you know, a Chiefs super fan. You've met somebody, whether it's Arrow Man or whomever. You've met a super fan in Kansas City. We know who many of these people are. And the guy in Oakland has died, and that's a sad thing. Rob Rivera co-founded the black hole in 1994, and he has died. College football this week. All right. Lance Leipold had his weekly news conference in Lawrence yesterday, and he was asked about his, not constant, but his vehement objections that he has with officials during games. And I think the question was a little bit leading. I think somebody asked him, look, you know, it's 48-7 or whatever, and you're still on the refs. There was a point in the game where it was 14-0, and he was on the refs, because he thought his quarterback was hit out of bounds too far. And the official said, step back. And he did. He stepped back to where he's supposed to stand. And the official came over and he just gave him the business. Lance Leipold said something very interesting. And this is the fundamentals of rebuilding the Kansas program have never been addressed in this way. The fundamentals through three games, forget the scores, forget the wins and losses. They have one turnover in three games and almost no penalties. Discipline is the order of the day. Lance Leipold has made a very strong statement to his players. I will stand up for you against all comers. And he did this for his quarterback in the game. And Leipold said, I know what I see, and I'm pretty confident about it. And that's a perfect way to say it. That's not really criticizing the officials. He got his say in. I think he's going to earn the respect of officials around the Big 12 very quickly. Not for wins and losses, but they're gonna know this guy knows what he's talking about. This guy knows what he's doing. He's got something about him that's clicking with these players. You don't just walk into Kansas and all of a sudden they don't commit penalties and don't turn the ball over. That's coaching. Maybe he's playing a player who's less athletic that doesn't fumble, for example, over someone who's more athletic and does fumble. These are tough decisions to make as a new head coach, but it's clear he has rock-solid principles about football, that we are not going to turn the ball over here. We are not going to be the team that has all these penalties. We're going to be disciplined. We're going to be together, and I will play a guy that's less talented, that is more bought in and following the fundamentals over someone who's more talented. I will do that. This is clearly obvious with Lance Leipold. It is exactly the way Bill Snyder did it. And it didn't, you didn't see glowing results on the scoreboard right away. But over time, it becomes the order of business. It becomes the way of life. It's ingrained into everyone within the program. And standing up for your players during the game is a solid, solid start. And he said, I know what I see, and I'm pretty confident about it. Which is to say, if I'm arguing with the ref, I'm right. Period. My players will see it, and they will know I'm right. And I will do it. And that's just really solid. It's not a fun season. There aren't a bunch of wins out there. It's not. I'm telling you, the early signs of what this coach is doing are very good. It is a tough job. It is not an overnight deal. It probably isn't even next year. Give this man time. Let's see what he does at Kansas. Eli Drinkwitz is the coach at Missouri. He did media yesterday as well, talking about facing Boston College this week, which has a big veteran offensive line. Maybe a better offensive line than Kentucky. Certainly better than Southeast Missouri, which ran for 251 yards. BC averages over 200 yards a game rushing, and Missouri can't stop the run. This is a tough test for the Tigers if they don't shore up their run defense. Missouri's a two-point favorite. They should score a lot of points against BC. They should. They should win this game. Missouri should be better than Boston College. But the glaring weakness for the Tigers right now is the run defense. It's like the Chiefs. The Chiefs are the same thing. High-powered offense. We can go score on anyone. We can go up and down the field. We can throw the ball. We got a great quarterback. We're feeling good about all this stuff. But if the other team just hands the ball off and runs on us, we've got a problem. The Chiefs have a problem. They've got to fix it. Andy Reid said this week, I'm going back to the drawing board. We're starting over. Lia Drinkwitz may want to consider the same thing. Maybe he thinks he's close. Maybe it's a slight adjustment. Maybe it's not. We'll find out. BC is 3-0, and they run the ball. This is quite a test for the Missouri Tigers this week. It'll be interesting to see over the weeks if Missouri's run defense gets better, because teams are going to line up and run on Mizzou until they stop somebody. And the Ryder Cup is this week. It begins on Friday. They have weird names like foursomes and four balls for the matches. So let me just cut to the chase. On Friday morning, the first matches will be what I call low ball. Okay? You're listening to the podcast right now. You and I are partners. We're going to play against Sergio Garcia and Rory McIlroy. Okay? We're all going to keep our score, right? This is the way it goes. If I make a three and all three of you other guys make a four, you and I win the hole. It's low ball. Whoever has the best score on the hole, that team wins. In the afternoon, they're going to play, I get them all confused. I don't know which is four ball and which one's four sums. In the afternoon, they'll play alternate shot. I hit a tee shot, you hit the next shot, I hit the next shot, you hit the next shot. It's alternate shot. I don't know why they call them by these goofy names. But that'll be the format up on Friday. The one big mistake they make in the Ryder Cup, the United States has a really young team. They're a massive favorite. The U.S. is minus 187. This is happening in Whistling Straits, Wisconsin. It's a bombers course. The American team is filled with bombers, guys who hit it a million miles. Minus 187 means that the U.S. is just a huge favorite in this thing. The European team is really old. They've just decided to go with the old guard and say, we're going to take experience, Ryder Cup experience, and go up against these young American guns. And this team, American team, is so young, and it is so talented. Six of the top eight players in the world are Americans in this match. So six of the top eight are Americans. Seven of the best 10 players in the Ryder Cup are Americans. This should be an American victory. It's golf, so it's never easy. Still got to make putts. You know, old guys with hot putters are very dangerous, and the Europeans are dangerous here. But it's just so exciting to watch. It means so much. I have a friend there. I shouldn't say too much about him, but he's there with his wife and they're volunteering. And it was their bucket list thing to go to the Ryder Cup. He plays golf over at Canyon Farms where I play a lot. I've played golf with him many times this summer. Really, really nice people. He had a pretty serious health incident last week and was in the hospital. And 3 days later, he's in Wisconsin volunteering, carrying a sign or whatever it is he's doing at the Ryder Cup. If you volunteer for like 3 days, you get tickets and get to go. They love golf so much, they actually want to help. They want to feel like they're part of it. These are great people. He was sick. He had a real medical problem, and he's there. Like, this is just it's a pilgrimage for some people. Ryder Cup is a big, big deal, and I can't wait to see it. The opening ceremonies are Thursday, and here's where the Ryder Cup goes wrong. There is no advance hype of this thing. It just happens on Friday. On Thursday night, they announce the teams, the matchups. We know who the players are that are there, but the coaches put a lineup out, like the Royals would do every day. Not everybody plays. 8 guys go out at a time. That's it. The other 4 sit. So it's an odd situation that you don't know who's playing who until Thursday night. They lose all the buildup. They lose all the gambling odds. They should be doing this stuff on Tuesday. They should decide this days in advance of who's playing, and then they could have media hype over who do you think's going to win? How's this player going to do? Look at this player's against this player. That would be so awesome, but they don't. That's the only mistake they make at the Ryder Cup. But it's coming up this weekend, and count me in. I will be watching. I thank you for listening to KKHI. Please tell your friends about it if you can, or if you haven't done it already, the like and follow button are very, very important. If you could like this podcast, it'd be incredible. If you tell a friend or a family member about the podcast and they say, hey, that might be interesting, I might like to listen to that, hit that like or follow button for them or ask them to do it. It's making a big, big difference in what we're doing. Love the fact that many of you are giving my sponsors the opportunity to earn your business. That's great stuff. Appreciate it all. I hope in some small way we're making a difference. I can tell you this. I've heard from a lot of liberals around town that are not happy that old KK is doing this podcast. They are not. They're not. So that's a good thing. That's the goal. That's the goal. Get under the skin of them locally and see how much we can grow from there. Do it. Don't be afraid to say your piece. Don't be afraid to be conservative when you're out there. Don't hide in the weeds. If you possibly can, be heard. And thanks for listening to KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.